beginning of Parshat Vayetze. Beginning of Parshat Vayetze seems to start very innocently. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harana. He's going, he's leaving Be'er Sheva, and he's going to Haran. And it's very easy to just pass over the first pasuk until you take a look at the Haftarah for this week from Sefer Hosea. And there the Haftarah begins with a slightly different verb. Not Vayetze Yaakov, but Vayivrach Yaakov Sudei Aram. He didn't leave, he ran away. And if you think about it, the term Vayivrach seems to be more appropriate. At the end of Pashas Toldos, Rivka Imenu, who understands that Esav is planning to kill Yaakov at some point, turns to Yaakov and says, Vatomer Elav, Hine Esav Achicha Misnachem Lecha Lahargecha, Vata b'nishma b'koli v'kum b'rach lecha elav anachi charana. B'rach lecha. Run away. So the pasuk in Hosea seems to be more appropriate. Vayivrach Yaakov. So why does it say in the Torah Vayetze Yaakov? So I saw an explanation from Rav Matisyahu Salomon, Mashgiach in Lakewood, and I want to add on a bit of my own, which I hope also has some merit. If you were to take a look at Yaakov objectively as an outsider, when he left Be'er Sheva, he was a fugitive, well, not a fugitive, but he was running away. The Pasuk in the Navi is really giving an accurate description. Vayivrach. I think it's the Ramban who writes that Yaakov Avinu leaves his parents' house basically penniless. He's not like Eliezer who comes with all these gifts. He doesn't bring any gifts. He's going to look for a wife. Bring something. Jewelry, something to give her. Nothing. Why? Because he had to leave the house secretly. Almost in the dead of the night, before Esav would realize what's going on. Objectively, it was Vayivrach. And the Navi Hosea is describing it accurately. So why does it say Vayetze? Because subjectively, from Yaakov Avinu's perspective, he was just leaving. He wasn't running away in a panic. He wasn't running scared for his life. He wasn't so worried. He has to go. He has to go. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants him to leave. Okay. But his mindset was Vayetze, not Vayivra. And how is that? Thought to say the following. Yaakov is described as an ish tam, an ish shalem. His shlemus was not only in building up his own character, but his shlemus was also in his world perspective. Many of us, when faced by challenges, have a very narrow perspective. We have very myopic vision. We only see what's right in front of our faces, and we say, this isn't fair, this isn't right, it's not, it shouldn't be this way. Take a look at Yaakov. He's the good boy. He's the one who's really following in his father's footsteps, in his grandfather's footsteps. And whom does Yitzchak want to give a bracha to? To Esav. That no good brother of mine. But he accepts it. That's the way it's supposed to be. So it's supposed to be. And there he is. He does the right thing. He listens to his mother. And now he, the good guy, has to run away from home. Esav can live in tranquility. And he has to run away from home and he'll be gone for 22 years. From our perspective, they're low fare. But Yaakov has a different perspective. This is what's supposed to be. It's supposed to be. How? Why? I don't know. But maybe when you look at the total picture, things will come out better. But you don't see the total picture? Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu does. There's something fascinating about Parshat Vayetze. We all know, if we don't all know yet, we'll all know in a moment, as soon as I tell you, that if you open up a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has no periods, no exclamation marks, no question marks, there's no punctuation. The only thing that the Torah has to separate ideas is what we call parshio. They look like paragraphs. There's a Parsha Ptucha and a Parsha Stuma, but you'll see that there are gaps. Sometimes it's the gap of 9 letters and then it begins again, and sometimes it starts on the next line. They're gaps, they're partial. Partial can appear very frequently after a pasuk. I think in Aseres HaDibros even less than a pasuk. And sometimes they appear after a number of pasukim. But I don't think there is ever another place in Chumash where one parsha contains 148 pasukim without a break. The entire Parshat Vayetze is one big paragraph. There are no breaks in the Parsha. You look at its column after column after column, not a single break. Why? There's not a pause, not a break. Yes, it's true that on Shabbos when we lane, we'll read, and we'll stop, there'll be an aliyah, there'll be Kohen, the ladies, we'll have 7 aliyahs. But when you look at the text, there are no breaks. 148 psukim without a chance to pause. Why? Maybe that's the message of Shleimut. See, if you look at the beginning of Parshat Vayetze, the good boy, the good brother, the good son, has to run away. He doesn't take any money with him. He's penniless. He has to go to a foreign country. He has no wife, he has no kids. Maybe he has no future. He's running away, 63 years old. What's going to be with him? Hold your breath. Don't pause. The Malachim who left him, who took care of him in Eretz Yisrael, are leaving him. Don't pause. Keep on going. Don't stop. Get to the end of the 148 psukim, and all of a sudden Yaakov Avinu isn't leaving, running away from Eretz Yisrael. He's coming back to Eretz Yisrael. All of a sudden, the penniless Yaakov, Baruch Hashem, has become wealthy. The bachelor is married. The person who lives alone, has Baruch Hashem many children he can be proud of. The Malachim who abandoned him on the way there have now come back to greet him. When you live that life of Shleimus, so you say, okay, right now things don't look the way that I'd like them to look. But in the long run it works out. That's the Yaakov Ishtag, Yoshev Oli. That's why even though the Navi described Yaakov as running away as Vayivrach Yaakov, the Torah says that's only from an objective point of view. But go into Yaakov's mind and all he's doing is Vayetze. I'm leaving. And if Hashem wills it, I'll come back. We are very, very often faced in life with things that happen or don't happen and we don't understand. doesn't seem to be right. Why did it have to be this way? Sometimes we're really lucky. And a few days later, maybe a couple of weeks later, we now look back and say, oh, what I thought was something bad turned out to be something good. I'll give you a little tiny example. It's a nothing example. It was before Rosh Hashanah. No, must have been right after Rosh Hashanah. I was supposed to get a ride with somebody to MMY. And whatever it is, the ride didn't work out. It wasn't a disastrous thing. Okay. Wanted the ride, it didn't work out. But a few days later, I found out that the person I wanted to get the ride with had tested positive for corona. Had I gotten the ride with that person, I would have had to go into bidud, into quarantine. I'd been sitting next to the person in the car for the whole ride. But the ride didn't work out. What seemed to me to be not a major disappointment, a little disappointment, turned out to be a big bracha. But that's an easy case. I think it's a little bit more difficult. Sometimes you're looking forward to getting a certain job. It's happened to me. I'm sure it's happened to many people. You don't get the job that you wanted. And you're disappointed. You think you really would have done well in that job. Not quite sure why it didn't work out, but it didn't work out. It won't be a couple of weeks later. Sometimes a few years later, I'm going to look back and say, boy, it's a good idea I didn't get that job. Because if I had gotten that job, the consequences would have been so-and-so, and I would have never gotten the job that I have now that I really, really enjoy, and I think I would enjoy enjoying much more than the other job. At the time, the other thing seemed to be what I really wanted. But in the end, I ended up with something that's even better. So sometimes it doesn't take just a couple of weeks, sometimes it takes a number of years before you're able to look back and say, now things make sense. But sometimes it takes a lot more than a few years. Sometimes there are incidents, things that happen in our lives, which really we don't understand. We don't understand for 10 years and 20 years and 30 years. Don't understand our entire lives. And really, that shouldn't surprise us. The Navi tells us, quoting Ribbono Shel Olam, Ki lo machshevotai machshevoteichem. You can't think like me. It's not only that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a little bit smarter, a lot smarter. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's thought process is in a different realm, way beyond human understanding. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Thank God he runs the world, because if it was left up to human beings, we wouldn't be around. And therefore he runs the world in a way that we can't understand. So why did this have to happen, and why couldn't that happen? And why is it this way, and why is it that way? It's okay to ask the questions, as long as we don't demand immediate answers. Because if there's something that we need to learn as Jews, we need to learn to live with questions. I have questions I don't understand. That's okay. It's okay to say things bother me, and I don't understand, and in my mind, this doesn't seem to make sense, but I'm only human. I always point out that sometimes you're learning Gemara and Tosfot. Tosfot asks a question and doesn't answer the question. And do you know what's right below that Tosfot? There's another Tosfot. It went on, the Balei HaTosfot went on. We had a question, we don't know the answer. Okay, we go on in life. We learn to live with questions.
But maybe we can learn from Yaakov Avinu that our perspective has to be that perspective of Shleimus,
of Tan. But even though that right now things don't seem to make sense, but maybe at the end maybe 22 years later, maybe 148 psukim later, maybe 120 years plus later,
maybe not in this world, but maybe in the next world, at some point we'll be able to see how everything really fits in, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs this world with Shleimut.